Are you kidding me? How about that game? How about that finish? Welcome in Grant and Danny on the Fan on a Hall & Oates victory Monday. The Commanders are 6-2. Jay Gruden's on the show at 5. We've got Caps tickets at 4. You better be listening. That was one of the greatest finishes in the regular season history of football in the nation's capital. Wow.
That was a maddening, disappointing gut punch until it wasn't. That was a how could you have lost that game given X, Y, Z, P, D, Q, all the letters of the alphabet 17 other times until it wasn't. That was a, gosh, we're going to have some things to unpack here. Has this group been figured out? Did they need another playmaker at receiver when they play good defenses? Until it wasn't. The conversation shifted with a few moments, a little bit of botching by Chicago, but a lot of right for Washington. I still can't believe it. I'm still on cloud nine. I woke up this morning, you know, in that groggy first light kind of state. My wife had to get up super early. She was gone, out the door. I'm going to start my day, get the kids up, and do everything that needs to be done. And I had a little pang where, as my eyes first opened, I go, ah, what a bummer of a loss yesterday. And then, I remembered as the clarity got to me, not a loss at all, a win. They're 6-2 because of something miraculous.
There's a euphoria when sports are going good and you're around people who just experience the same joy as you do that can only be explained, I think, if you've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
When the Caps made their 2018 run, all of those playoff wins and the dancing in the street and those moments after the Stanley Cup final, I remember kind of taking it to the streets over in the Capital One Arena neighborhood and eventually over to the MGM National Harbor. You just don't want the night to end. You just want to be around people. When the Nats won the World Series in 2019, all over the Navy Yard and all over town, same kind of vibes. It was a scaled back version of that because, let's be honest, it's a 6-2 week 8 regular season, middle of the campaign, mm-hmm. October football moment. But last night at Northwest Stadium, leaving that facility was a moment for me as a sports fan. It was chill inducing. It was as happy as I've seen that fan base and those parking lots in my entire life. The crowd, which was great, I thought, all game. There were a lot of Bears fans there, but it was boisterous. It was loud. There was energy. There was an electricity. It was a vibe inside Northwest Stadium. And at the moment of the Jaden Daniels scramble for 13 seconds, turned Hail Mary prayer downfield, turned batted ball tip up into the air into the waiting arms of Noah Brown for what was basically the easiest completion in the history of the world. I mean, it seemed like, right?
Yeah.
It's so funny. When those Hail Marys are completed, you go, how does this not happen all the time? He's just standing there with no one around him, and the ball just got batted, and that's the easiest touchdown he'll ever score on the very back end of that play.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that he caught it, Danny, the pop is what I'm going to refer to it as.
Right.
That initial outbreak of eruption of excitement and cheer, that was the loudest I have ever heard that stadium. I've been there for the very few playoff games that have ever been there. I've been there for the only, yes, you heard me right, the only playoff win. I was there in 1999 for the Detroit Lions and the Washington Redskins. The first play of that game was a 7-yard sack of Gus Frerotte by Greg Jones at linebacker. One of the loudest moments in that stadium's history. There have been other great moments.
Yep.
There have been loud moments. I'm not telling you there haven't been. But Danny, that was as loud as I have ever heard it, and they've ripped 20-plus thousand seats out of that place. The pop, like the music hitting
insanity
of a Royal Rumble, that stone cold shattered glass on Raw back in 1999, and that initial electricity, I've never seen anything quite like it in that stadium.
Yeah, you got to harken back to some of the best moments, whether it's beating Dallas 35-7 and Chris Cooley rumbling through the secondary, and they show Bill Parcells giving a mean mug to one of his defenders that made a business decision, or to Terry Glenn when he wouldn't go over the middle because Sean Taylor was a predator, a pterodactyl swooping and just taking heads off at that point. There have been great moments, certainly. Few and far between, as you alluded to.
I think, though, like with all these moments we could point out, because those are some really good ones. I remember the Rob Jackson 2012 pick.
That pick to save the world, yeah.
Off Robert Griffin to officially win the division when the Cowboys were going to try to tie the game. all of those moments, you can make the case that the overall intensity in the crowd was bigger, better, whatever. There were more people there, mm-hmm. clearly, more seats. And maybe even if you had like one of these, you know how they measure the noise? You could have like a wand that
does
that.
Sure.
Maybe they'd say it was louder in that, you know, sustainably. But I mean just the sheer pop.
Yep.
That 2-second clip of ball's in the air and it's pretty silent in the stadium. You're waiting, ball's coming down. That right there.
Whatever that is.
If there was a roof, it got blown off.
Jet engine. So I'm sitting there at home like everybody else, stewing, so irritated, so annoyed, just, I mean, like, honestly, like, in a bad mood, right? I'm like, they did it to me again. This mood-destroying Sunday, my Monday is going to be ruined. I'm going to be cranky all week at work, just so ticked off at every errand I have to run now. Man, that one's going to sting. I hate losses like that. I got all my snarky tweets queued up. I can't explain the noise I made. If you said recreate it, I probably couldn't. I saw stars. I scream in this way that, like, I wouldn't scream. Like, I'm terrified of snakes beyond compare. I'm Indiana Jones without the charisma, right? I'm so afraid of them. If I saw a snake in my bed, I wouldn't scream like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what that noise was. And I made it several times. And then I started maniacally laughing. Like I was the Joker and my caper had come to fruition. Like, I don't understand the reaction that's happening in my body. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm jumping, but I'm in some sort of like weird fetal position, tucking around. My 11-year-old is jumping on me. He didn't really care, but he cared in that moment. My wife is like screaming, "What?" Like, she's like, "Are there any penalties?" I'm like, "Not now." I mean, unbelievable, right? I mean, I can't get enough of the videos. Like, when something like that happens. Like, I remember certain just elements at the top of my mind. When Landon Donovan scored in the World Cup and everyone kept sharing those memes or their reaction videos, or the Nationals won the World Series, or, you know, the moment that the puck dropped, the game ends against Vegas and the Caps clinch the Stanley Cup. I can't get enough watching those videos. I've seen 1,000 of those over the last 24 hours, right? And I didn't make one of myself just because I'm sitting there watching and I got my phone out to be snarky. And that was the end of it.
Yeah,
they ripped it away.
Here's what I don't like, generally. I think that when someone records themselves for a last play and they're on camera, obviously and purposefully, it feels like it's turned up and mm-hmm. it's not authentic, right? But when you get an authentic reaction video, it's the best thing in the world. So these are... Hey, my Ring camera picked this up. Hey, we've got this camera in my house. You don't think about it in the moment, mm-hmm. and it just happens to record you, what you're doing, right?
You're not performing.
I could not stop watching those last night. I can't tell you how many I got, by the way. People mostly sending them. You can hit me up on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson, on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny. But I was getting them all until 2, 3 in the morning last night where people were just like, oh, yeah, we have a camera in that room. Let me see what it looked like. Everything from a giant party of people outside, look like multi-rooms of a house where everyone's giddy and picking up their kids and hugging and kissing them. There was a couple. This guy sent me on Instagram. Him and his wife are in a house with a sleeping baby. These are always the best.
Yeah.
And they jump out of the couch and they're like scream whispering. You know, they're like, I can't believe it. And she's like, how did this happen? And their hands are on their head, but the baby's right above them. And if you have a baby, you know.
Oh, you know.
The only thing more important than the emotions you're feeling, than the juices flowing through your body right then, is making sure that baby don't wake up, because that's a night ruiner.
Yeah.
That might be a day ruiner tomorrow.
Oh, I was going to say, that's not a temporary one. That's now you're offset for the week.
Have you seen Toby's reaction?
Yeah.
So this was great. So they were on camera doing a live show on 106.7 The Fan, he and Linnell. And Wholesome Tobes just screaming, oh my gosh, over and over again. Just losing his absolute mind on camera was pretty funny.
Oh!
Oh my God!
No way! No way! You've got to be kidding me! Holy cow! You can't be serious.
My favorite thing about this, other than just giddy Toby, is this is radio.
Yeah.
There has been no acknowledgement that there was a touchdown scored. So someone, I guess you're driving around. Now, if you really care that much about the game, maybe you're doing something else and you just want to have that as second viewing with him and Linnell. But just, I guess you're assuming with the screaming.
Right, with the positive, like something positive happened there.
Right, but there's no.
It's probably bigger than just a flag at the one.
Right,
yeah.
Like, think about from a play-by-play perspective, uh-huh. And they're not allowed to do play-by-play, right. Obviously, on this station. But it's just so funny that they're just silence for several seconds. Linnell's laying on the ground for some reason. I don't know where he went. He started yelling and then laid on the ground and then got up and told people to meet him in Largo. But the whole reaction was perfect, and I'm so glad it was on camera. Everybody goes from having your heart broken by the Bears getting into the end zone, because you also had that glimmer of hope, that little voice in the back of your head that has been right all season going, maybe they won't let him in the end zone. Maybe they'll get a turnover. Yeah, stupid voice. They're at the goal line. They're about to score. They're going to take the lead. Well, maybe they'll fumble. Maybe they'll give it to their fat lineman from the 1 yard line for some reason who's an up back. And then they do, and then they fumble, and then you get the ball, and you have another chance. And time again, this offense, which actually put up numbers, they moved the football, they amassed yards, they got into the red zone, Danny. They had chances to put the game on ice over and over
a million times.
And over again, and they just consistently didn't do it. And the defense was asked to bail them out time and time and time and time again. And oddly, in this 2024 season where the offense has been spectacular and the defense has not been that at all, they kept doing it. And then finally the Bears score and you go, I knew it.
Yeah, like you just, they both deserved, it's such a weird word, they both should have absolutely won that game. 100% should have won that game. Like, there's no question they deserve to win the game. They also deserve to lose that game with some of the, with, again, the bizarre, like, we can't get the play in, or wait, well, I'm not sure what formation this is.
Well, I'll
or,
say this, though. They were the better team in the game.
Yeah.
Like, categorically. And I don't just mean anecdotally, I mean statistically.
It backs that up, 100%.
You look at who should win the game a meter with all the numbers put into the computer algorithm, mm-hmm. They win that game at a 70-some percent clip.
100%.
But it's also the game over the years that they lose because they, as you said, they're burning timeouts that they're going to need. That ended up hurting them, by the way, on the final drive. They, you know, they can't.
Austin Seibert kicked the ground so hard. Why is he mad at the ground?
What do you mean he kicked the ground?
He kicked the ground before he kicked the field goal. Before the ball touched the foot, he kicked the ground in front of the ball.
On which one? The blocked kick?
Yeah. I don't even know if it was blocked. Watch the video of it. He kicks the ground super hard in front of the football. And the guy celebrates like he blocked it. He just chunked it. It's like hitting a fairway.
It's right next to his fingertip.
Yeah.
So even going back and rewatching it today, I just rewatched the condensed game.
Uh-huh.
I assumed it hit his fingertip. So that's a clean miss without a block.
Yeah, imagine, that's at least what they said on the telecast. I mean, imagine you're hitting a golf ball on the fairway.
Yeah, and you hit ground.
And you just miss 2 inches in front of the ball, and it goes 9 feet.
So I've been calling it a block kick, but miss kick, let's say.
Yeah, botch, for sure.
So you leave those 3 points on the field. 50-plus yards. I mean, it's not a gimme, but you still, that in this league
like
right
now. I'd
like
to see it go up there.
51, you got to hit that. And they had a touchdown called back, lest we forget.
Mm-hmm.
The Alameda Zacchaeus catch and run, which was a beautiful play. On a illegal man, which I thought Cosme was absolutely downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a PI, which needed to be called because St. Just interfered.
100%.
I mean, it was one after another. They're making these mistakes. So even though they were the better team, even though Caleb Williams, I thought, stunk on ice for three quarters, when it got to winning time, Caleb Williams made some winning plays.
Really impressive.
He started doing some legit big boy stuff in the fourth quarter, but not big enough boy stuff.
It's pretty big.
Not as big as our big boy. Our big boy did some bigger things. 52 yards. Danny, he ran around for 13 seconds and didn't even really have to throw it when he threw it. I mean, it's kind of like getting engaged when you've dated for a bunch of years. It's kind of like going to college after high school. You're just supposed to do it. So he decided to throw it. But if you notice, there's not someone about to hit him. He could have reset and gone back to the other side.
Yeah, the one guy pursuing him, Nick Allegretti, took him into Cleveland. I mean,
a couple of those dudes are laying on the ground because they've been pancaked.
They're tired.
And the other ones have just, it's like a hockey shift at the end of the shift where you're just standing on your edges, you know? You're just kind of out there with your stick moving it around a little bit.
They haven't been able to change, Joel B.
He's just going left to right to left. It would have been funny if he just, how long could you keep doing? He could still be doing it right now.
If he felt like it.
And like, we're just waiting. We're on air live now, and we're doing the reaction, the Toby and the Linnell reaction to his throw. But 13 seconds felt like an eternity. Everyone's, I don't know what you were saying, but I'm going, throw it, dude. Throw it. And it was perfect. Goal line. It's a 500 scrum in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to come down with it? And they designed the diamond formation down there where you've got front man, back man, two on the edges, And everything kind of comes to fruition beautifully. Especially helpful that the Bears decided, at least in part, to care more about the crowd than the play. That was also helpful.
Wasn't that delightful? And it's not lost on me. So I said this to my wife. I said, wouldn't it be amazing if the guy that Terry McLaurin was drawing with, now Terry gets up after a big catch and is barking at this dude. I don't think he liked something about that play, whether it was a hit he thought was maybe a cheap shot or
something. Did you see what he did?
I didn't see exactly,
no. McLaurin's kind of back, like butt's basically on the ground, mm-hmm. kind of back to Stevenson, who comes flying in
yeah.
and pops him right in the middle of the back. I mean, it was not a good-looking play. You can make the case he was still alive in Stevenson's mind when he launches, but it's still not a clean, like good-looking play in the sense of if you're looking at this as a fraternity where we're all in this thing together, I got to get you on the ground, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. McLaurin did not like that hit. He thought it was
he didn't like it at all. So there was some chirping, and that guy, you know, is in multiple people's faces, and everybody. And I decided I don't like you anymore. I didn't know much about Tyreek Stevenson beforehand, but now I'm going. You're on my list.
Don't forget Terry seen in 5K, highest definition ever, telling him
you are no
in. I will quote this. You ain't S.
Oh, you ain't. Right. And you are.
And that was certainly confirmed on the Hail Mary.
Yeah, they got it a couple times. And so I'm like, wouldn't it be great if that was the guy whose fault it was? I'm not even kidding. I didn't know. Then the video starts circulating where he's doing like a Degeneration X going, type promo to like fans. I don't know who he's yelling at or what. He's telling them to pipe down.
Well, Noah Bears Brown is 15 yards downfield. Yeah. He's been running for 2 seconds. And Tyreek Stevenson's going, no cigar for you in the parking lot today, tailgate Ted. Yeah, tailgate Ted, no cigar for you. Where's Rally Captain? Where is he? Noah Brown's just running down the field.
He's running by. And so then, of course, he's the guy that comes swooping over as the ball's in the air. It touches his stupid hand. And that stupid clown shoe loser, that absolute chotch, that dude who should be on the unemployment line today, if I were in charge, that's the guy whose fault it is. Perfect. Just perfect. Please, please enjoy that silent plane ride home. Please suck on that disappointment for a while.
When breaking down the play today,
mm-hmm.
the head coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus, who, by the way, is not a particularly good head coach.
Yeah, not a clinic from him either.
That is a terribly coached team.
Yeah.
What a waste of talent they are.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen,
mm-hmm.
a cavalry of decent backs. Now, they didn't hand it to at the goal line. They were busy handing it to an offensive lineman. What a joke that decision and just some of the things they did throughout the game. That performance they had, that dud, was off of a bye.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A bye. They had 2 weeks to prepare for that one.
Yep.
But Matt Eberflus, who will be the coach of the Bears probably for another couple of months, and then they'll try to pry Ben Johnson out of Detroit or whoever they'll go get to pair an offensive mind with Caleb Williams. Eberflus said Tyreek Stevenson was expected to box out Noah Brown on the Hail Mary. His job is to park in front of him and make sure that if there's a deflection, he can't grab the rebound. But it's hard to do that.
How'd that go?
When you're yelling at our callers. When you're talking S with our listeners who are sitting in section 214.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to live up your responsibilities there.
That's a Hall of Fame embarrassing. You don't come back from that moment. He's actually a good player, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much of a file people have. I've heard a lot of people saying today that they should cut him. You can't cut him. He's very good. I don't know what you do, but he gets punished. Something happens.
It would be severe if old Randy Duhier was in charge.
Where to begin on the phones? We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Remember, we got Jay Gruden on the show at 5. We're giving away Caps tickets at 4 on Grant and Danny. We want to know first, what was your reaction to that Hail Mary? Where were you? Who were you with? What were you doing? If you were in the stadium, great. If you were at home, that's fine too. Set the scene and just take us through one of the great moments of your fandom of this football team in decades and decades. And for a lot of young people, ever, perhaps, quite literally, the moment for you of your fandom. G&D on a Victory Monday on The Fan.
Bye. comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! Town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
What a great call by Jim Nance. Rising to the occasion. And nice job, Tony Romo, actually letting the broadcaster broadcast. Tony Romo, you know, he just wanted to jump in and start yelling and screaming, and he didn't. He let Jim Nance call the play. I cannot believe Tony Romo behaved himself.
He didn't for most of the game. He said right before the play that they should put Marcus Mariota in because Daniels couldn't step into throws, but I'll digress.
So you have to help me with that one.
Yeah.
I know making fun of Tony Romo is everybody's favorite thing. That was a good football point, I thought, in the sense that they had a chance at the end of the first half to do a Hail Mary, and they elected not to protect Jaden Daniels. That was exactly what we were talking about in the press box, quite literally. If you remember the end of the first half,
yes,
they had the ball at midfield. And rather than doing a Hail Mary, which you would do in that situation 99% of the time, why go through the rigors of that drive? Why move the ball into Hail Mary range if you're not going to take a shot at the end zone? And they elected not to do that. And after the game, they asked Dan Quinn about it. And he said, we didn't want him to take a shot. We didn't want him to get hit. We didn't want him to have to, you know, we were imagining torque his body and heave it as long as he could. I mean, he threw the ball downfield to Terry McLaurin on a 61-yard completion. That's not quite the same as having to lob it up as high as you do on a Hail Mary. And he had, I know, like the comp that a lot of people are using too. He had the deeper shot to McLaurin down the end zone. Mm-hmm. Again, similar throw, but not quite the same. But they literally, earlier in the game, decided to not have Jaden Daniels throw a Hail Mary. So I actually thought that was a fine observation.
Fair enough. It just always funny. The instant before, the throw is great. Everything about it's great. Where he's like, you know, they shouldn't have him do this. And he does it, and it works out really well. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Romo did his normal thing. I got home late from my son's soccer game, so I'm able to watch fast forwarding. So I missed a lot of Romo bits, which is great. Just really enhanced my enjoyment. But he's still, you know, drawing on the doodling on the board as the play's happening and right before and stuff. It's just too much for me. So good for him for sitting out.
How many highlights did you see? Guys, I said to look for this, where there was yellow pen on the play the highlight moment started. He's inevitable with it. It's unforgiving. He just can't stop writing at the snap. It's crazy. But I thought that call was marvelous and added to the moment on television for those of you that weren't in the stadium, I'm sure. 800-636-1067 is the number, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Question is, and we'll give you our answers here, where were you? What was your experience of that Hail Mary moment? Danny?
Watching at home, obviously. My oldest son had kind of a rough day, so we were like, hey, no screen. Just come sit with dad and, I guess, watch a screen, the TV copy. The wife had kind of wandered down as well. We're all sitting there. I'm sitting there stewing, pissed off, irritated, cranky, firing off snarky tweets about how galling this loss was, the gut punch, etc. Had my final one drafted as the old Daniels drops back, scrambles around for 15 seconds, pancake blocks ensue. And again, I said this at the top of the show, I made sounds that I have never made, and I don't know how to make them. I screamed and squealed and then cackled like I was a witch from like a Disney movie about witches. Or that I just completed my master evil plan. I couldn't believe it. Just jumping around, hugging everybody. Incredible.
So I was sitting in row 2, seat 14, I think, mm-hmm. in the press box. And what I can tell you about my experience of that final play was that was the loudest that press box has ever been. So the rules, just so people that haven't been in one know, is that you're not allowed to cheer. Everyone in the press box is, you're dressed in a neutral way, professional way. A lot of people in suits, a lot of people in button-down shirts, polo shirts, tucked in, khaki slacks, whatever. But you are dressed not like a fan, and you're not acting like a fan, because you're not. You're a working member of the media, and theoretically, you're not rooting for anybody. That isn't to say that there's never anybody in the press box that is cheering, but if someone is making a lot of noise or cheering, they will remove you. They will come over and say, hey, it's a working press box. You're not allowed to be in here. Nobody in a jersey or anything's getting in there anyway. But I say this to just set the scene of, I've been in that press box. There have been two of them at that stadium. This one's the second version, basically. Dating back to 1999, 25 years of covering games, I've missed a handful of home games. I have never heard the box that loud. Nobody's kicking anybody out, but it was like people were yelling, they were squealing. It was not really a cheer.
Because it's a gasp. It's like a whoa.
Exactly. I think there was some cheering, if I had to guess, if you could go back and watch and listen, look at a recording. But it was mostly, honestly, yelling. You know, I remember Chick Hernandez was right in front of me, and Chick had his hands on his head, and he kind of turned around. He was standing up to go downstairs already, and he looked at me, and he's like, oh, my God. But everyone is some version of that.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And it was so loud. It was no less quiet than a section in the stands.
I get it. I was in the press box for 2012 at Nats Park when Jason Worth hit the walk-off homer. So it was a similar thing. I mean, you and I joked about, like, quote-unquote, cheering. It wasn't cheering. It's like this, what? Like, what the hell just happened? I can't believe it. Not high-fiving. That's not what's happening. It's just this, you just can't believe what you just saw.
It's crazy. And this is not me being a tough guy, like bragging about this. I was in such shock that I did not make an audible sound to the point where Chris Russell, who was sitting directly next to me, Russell, you'll be surprised to hear, was very loud and yelling.
Is Chris Russell was?
Yeah. He's like, oh my God, what the heck? How did the, oh my, oh, he sounded like Toby on 106.7, yeah, The Fan, yeah, right? And so he finally looks at me like, why aren't you saying anything? And he just like hits me really hard in the arm. He's like, dude. And he just hits me. And he points out, like, did you not see that? And I'm just kind of in shock. Frankly, I was looking for a flag.
Yep.
I mean, my whole life, that can't happen. It's not going to happen.
Doesn't happen.
And if it does, the play's coming back on a Wiley hold. Or who screwed this up? How did this happen, right? But no, not this time.
Not this time.
Not when you got five. Hail Mary, full of grace, into the hands of Noah Brown. Touchdown, Washington Commanders. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on G&D. Kevin, where were you? What was the scene like?
I was at home. We were having a steak dinner I'd grilled, and I couldn't eat it because we were giving back the game in the second half, right? But I'm with my oldest son and his fiance, and she, they're newly engaged. She's originally from Panama. She's just learning American football, and you can imagine her reaction to when it all happened and we just went bonkers. But can I just back up quickly? To me, I've only reacted the way I did one other time, and it was because we snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. And that was after the Astros foolishly pulled Greinke and Howie hit that homer off the foul pole. And I let out the biggest, yes, let's go, that I almost hyperventilated.
Yep.
I had to sit down because I almost passed out.
Everybody knows
where it was.
That feeling,
yeah, that's where it was, that level.
Clary showed me a video last week of him after the second home run against Kershaw to tie the game when Rendon and Soto went back-to-back against the Dodgers. And he was laying in his bed watching, and he jumps up, and he's screaming, and he runs into the living room, and him and his dad do this big, like, chest bump. By the way, Dan Quinn chest bumped, I think it was Fidarian Mathis or somebody yesterday, and fell right down.
Went flying, yeah.
Middle of the field, didn't care, hopped right back up. But we've all had that reaction in certain moments where you do get lightheaded, legitimately. The idea of seeing stars, you know, those little glittery things are moving around.
You're like, those aren't real, but I see them.
You're yelling, you're out of breath, you're winded. I just talked to a guy today who was hoarse. Still, this afternoon, he does not sound like he's supposed to at work because of how much he yelled. There are, you can count on one hand, and he was not saying, Kevin, who just called in, that's the last time from a Commanders, a Redskins standpoint. No, he's saying in any sport in his life, the last time he can remember doing that was a home run off the foul pole in the World Series.
That's about right, yeah.
Think about that. Caesar in D.C., you're on G&D. What was your scene of the Hail Mary yesterday?
Well, I actually was at work the game yesterday, and right about the time the Bears scored that second touchdown, I had some Bear fans behind me. That lady was jumping up and down. And I was like, okay, I accept this one. Hey, we'll lose the first one at home. But then when we started moving that ball and Scary Terry scored that, I got that 15 yards, I'm like, okay. So I turned around and looked at her and said, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. And when we scored that touchdown, oh, my. The whole stadium.
Party was on.
I saw Jack Cook. Oh, I saw Jack King Cook running into the stadium yesterday.
Bedlam. To say that people were excited wouldn't describe it correctly.
No, it's something different.
Like, you hear that word, bedlam, or, you know, there is just a euphoria to being giddy without real control. You have lost control in that moment. You've experienced it with different emotions, rage or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, that I'm not really in control of myself right now. I'm that happy. That's what 50,000 people were doing at the same exact moment. How many things can do that, by the way? Sports is about it.
There's a very small list.
50,000 people, most of whom don't know each other, at the same time all go to that level of excitement and want to hug each other.
So I remember Ryan Zimmerman talking about it once on like a telecast where he said, like, he was being interviewed post-game. He's like, I'm not sure. I blacked out and we won. Like, and it was funny and everyone had a good time. I wrote down in my journal that we all laughed. That's kind of what happened. Like, when Howie Kendrick hits the home run to center field against the Dodgers, I was on the other side of the room. I don't know how I got there. Like, I was yelling and jumping, and I sort of like, hey, how did I transport myself over here? I wasn't in control of my faculties, but I'm just jumping up and down like a crazy person. I was doing some sort of, like, the happy baby pose, yoga style on my back, laughing. But what move is this? I don't know what this is.
What do you think the Harris ownership group's thinking? I walked out right in front of Josh and Marjorie Harris last night. They were headed to their elevator. Different one than the one
I got. Is that the same one?
No, oddly. Theirs was a little different.
Is theirs nicer?
And I wanted to stop them and say something, but there was a crew of people
sure,
around
yeah,
them,
yeah.
And I said, I'll just let them have their moment.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the Harris group thinking? What is Adam Peters thinking right now? What is Dan Quinn thinking? I mean, there is something transforming. Uh-huh. There is something unfolding in front of our eyes here with this football team. And I don't know how it ends or when it ends, but they are 6-2, and things that normally don't happen are happening.
6-2.
They have a quarterback who seems to have that special it thing, that pixie dust thing, and that is proof again of it yesterday. 800-636-1067, your experience of one of the great plays in DC sports history over the last 25 or so years, and I would make the case, regular season history for Washington football is proud and illustrious as this team's organizational history is. I don't think you can tell the story of this team without mentioning yesterday. That was a moment that we got to experience together as a community. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
The plays also leading up to it were a really big deal because when you're in that spot, you don't have timeouts, and we used one early, obviously, to get out of bounds, to give yourself a chance at the next play. And I thought the real factor was there of Zach Ertz, you know, going up to get a tip, to keep the ball alive, for Noah to get there, because it's hard just to go up and snatch it. So you almost have to go up and expect a bounce or a tip to go. And I thought Jaden did a fantastic job of, you know, buying time, over to the right side. I don't know how long the play was. Maybe you guys might, but it took a long-ass time. 13 seconds, yeah. I felt every bit of them.
I've seen a lot of people suggesting today that the Hail Mary is a lucky play, that it is just a luck play. And there is no disputing that if we're doing a pie, it's probably at least 50% luck, wouldn't you say? I mean, maybe you'd even tilt it up to 60%, but the idea that there's not skill to it as well, this is not just like your backyard where, hey, run down to that tree, I'm going to throw it up. They are actually coached. There are coaching points. Noah Brown is basically the rebounder in the back. Everyone else is trying to either grab at arms and hands and make sure that nobody can pull the ball down or tip the ball up into the air themselves. There's a formation that they get into and converge. I mean, again, Jaden Daniels today even spoke about, I can't throw it too far. I've got to throw it toward the front goal line and try to make sure it doesn't go out of the end zone on the bounce. And So everyone's got some skill to go along with what they're doing.
Yeah.
In addition to, how many guys in this league can scramble around for 12.7 seconds before they throw the football? I think it's a fairly small number.
Yeah, they're a handful, but that's the point, is they're a handful.
Right.
You don't do it like, yeah, there's a handful. You go, there's only a handful of guys.
Is it a coincidence that Aaron Rodgers has had more success at this than everybody else?
No, it's not. It's there's correlation. It doesn't mean it's a high percentage play.
Of course not.
There's a big difference between a low percentage play and straight luck, right? Like the way the analogy I use is home runs don't happen all the time, but there's a lot of technique in there. You're putting yourself in a really good position to have that magical thing happen. You get 600, however many plate appearances or at-bats, and you hit 35, 40, 50 homers. That's not a great percentage of times you go up to the plate where you actually do that. But you put yourself in a position to do it, right? And if everything breaks your way.
And by the way, it wasn't just that Hail Mary that was so unlikely and ridiculous. That whole drive was pretty impressively done from a coaching and execution standpoint. As good as Washington's execution was, though, the Bears was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the Tyreek Stevenson disaster on the Hail Mary and just generally how poorly they played that. How about the play before
that? Well, the play before, you win the game if you, because it's Washington ball from the 30, what was it? From their 35.
Yes, the minus 35, their own 35.
Right, after the completion of Ertz.
They got 13 on and out to McLaurin, who got out of bounds with 2 seconds left.
Yeah, so that, I want to talk about that play. Like, if Chicago just simply defends the sideline, right, where they're after the Ertz completion, right, if they just go, we're going to stand seven guys on the out-of-bounds line, you know, evenly distributed for a while, dare you to complete a pass in the middle of the field, the game's over.
I cannot believe they played it the way that they did.
Yeah.
They basically sent all of their guys back toward the end zone and gave Washington 15 yards in the sideline to get into Hail Mary range. That, to me, was almost worse in execution than the play after that. Like, what are you doing? And I don't understand why teams refuse to pressure quarterbacks on Hail Marys. I'm not saying zero blitz or anything crazy, but to not send five is preposterous.
Yeah, I think there was an example. It was last week, maybe the week before. I think Detroit did it against Minnesota.
They did.
Where Sam Darnold got sacked. And I'm going, this should be the standard.
There's no
this should be the standard now.
To allow, some teams do three.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears did four, although you wouldn't have known it because those guys were gassed and just kind of walking around, getting pancaked, as you've mentioned a couple times. But to not rush more bodies, I thought was just an outrage. Hey, what do I care?
I mean, great coaching is what you mean.
I'm on the other side of the ledger. But coaching mattered, skill mattered, execution. Is there luck? Of course. There's also a lot more to it than just to say, what a lucky play. Aaron Rodgers is better at that play than the average quarterback. That's why he hits it more than other guys do. I don't know if you heard, but Daniel said he hit one in high school. And we know Caleb Williams did as well.
We saw that a lot on the telecast. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. Oh, was it all over the place?
Oh, he wouldn't stop talking about it.
I've only rewatched the condensed game.
Yeah, I don't mean you. I mean, like, in high school, at Gonzaga College High School, he did that. Like, okay, thank you so much. Jay Daniels did some stuff, too. Might want to mention that, but that's fine.
Were they pro Caleb Williams on the broadcast?
No, I'm just saying they over-talked about that high school play.
It would have been hard to be pro Caleb Williams on that broadcast. That was a rough three quarters for that guy. I thought they rushed him pretty well. He's got so much of the amateur hour stuff that drives me crazy for a young quarterback. Now, he's going to be special. I really do believe that because of the play extension. Like, what I hope for Jaden Daniels, which he's done a lot of, that get out of the pocket, reset to throw, is all Caleb Williams does. That's his entire game, basically. And that is the dream. Most of the time, he couldn't find anyone or no one got open. But he just dances when he doesn't have to. He does, like, these, like, someone's controller fell on the ground and is being pressed against the ground, so he's just going in circles. He's a tough watch at times, but he also made some ridiculous plays.
Sure did. I mean, the throw, he couldn't follow through, and he hit DJ Moore down the sideline. So, like, he wanted to put more mustard on the ball. He couldn't because he was being struck forcefully. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Wagner, right in his chest, and the ball ends up in a perfect spot. You just go, okay, that's pretty good. Sorry.
Second-best rookie quarterback on the field yesterday.
Yeah, top two.
As he has been all season long at this point. Jaden Daniels, didn't think the rib was much of a factor. We could talk about that next hour as well, but it seemed to me like there were a couple times where he would take a shot and he would grab at the rib a little bit, but it didn't seem to affect him in any way. That looked like very normal Jaden Daniels. I think the last week was probably much more ado about nothing than we thought. I think they kind of led people on a little more maybe than was necessary. But next, when's the last time you reacted like you did to that Hail Mary watching a Washington football game? You're listening to G&D. We got Jay Gruden at 5. In 1 hour, we're giving away Caps tickets at 4 on The Fan.